Not everything that grows is fruit. Case number 015. Status: active investigation. Subject: identity formation. Alias: the quiet drift. There's a three-tier veggie basket in my kitchen. One of those tall brown towers with the wired bowls stacked on top of each other. The bottom two hold vegetables, onions, garlic, potatoes, the usual, the things that keep a family fed. But the top basket, well, there's this bonsai tree I couldn't resist. I bought the basket tower and the bonsai on the same day, at Costco of all places, long before I understood how much that little pairing would end up meaning to me. I remember staring at the empty top tier while in Costco and thinking, it needs something up there. Not a decoration, not just decor, not just something cute, something with presence, something that softened the kitchen. And then I saw it, this tiny green tree in a little blue pot, shaped just enough to look intentional. I picked it up without even thinking twice. They came home together that day, the practical basket tower and the tiny green tree. I didn't know it then, but I was choosing something for function and something for my heart. And ever since, that bonsai has lived up there on top of the tier, catching light from the kitchen window. A little tree in a little world, steady, quiet, beautifully out of place in a spot made for vegetables. Every morning, the sun touches its leaves, and every night, it's the last thing I see when I clean up the kitchen. Lately, though, I've noticed something. Not the kind of noticing you forget a few minutes later. I mean, noticing the way you notice a child growing taller or a friend's face carrying a new expression. Because this bonsai, it isn't so little anymore. Over time, weeks, months, the branches have stretched wider than before. The trunk thickened. The leaves reached toward the window with more confidence than before. And the roots? They're pressing against the edges, tracing faint lines along the sides. Like they're saying, "We're running out of room here." And I've known. I've known for a while that I need to move it to a bigger pot. I've known it every time I rinse dishes and catch it from the corner of my eye. Every time I'm cooking dinner and see its silhouette against the window, every time I water it and realize the soil doesn't hold moisture the same way anymore. I've known, and yet I haven't done anything about it. It's not because I don't care, actually it's the opposite. It's because that little bonsai has become something I never expected. A kind of companion during my slow and still moments in the kitchen. Even proof that something can grow under my care, even when I never saw myself as someone good with plants. Can you relate? So every time I think about repotting it, I feel two emotions at the same time. A strange mix of happiness and sadness. Happiness because it means it's thriving, still alive and growing. And sadness, because moving it means changing the place where it's always met me. The place where it caught the morning sun. It's been like this for a while, this quiet tug inside me, knowing it can't stay in the same pot forever and still hesitating to move it. I don't know if you've ever had something in your life like that, something small, something you check on every day, something that grew almost without you noticing. Until one day it simply just didn't fit in the same place anymore. Field note, growth doesn't always announce itself. It accumulates quietly. And the strange part is, this little tree brings similar thoughts related to motherhood. Because time moves fast, much faster than we expect. When I think of my boys and go through their old photos, I see how small they used to be, and how tall they're becoming now. How their achievements unfold in ways I never imagined. One serving through military and volunteer work. One pushing forward in soccer with discipline and drive. One exploring piano with this beautiful wild imagination, discovering music by ear and creating his own little melodies. They're growing, and they're still here with me at home, but they're ultimately the Lord's. Most moments I pause and my heart whispers, Lord, help me steward their hearts well and shape me too. Shape them, mature them, mold them, and keep my identity rooted in you so I don't lead them from a false version of this world. I have to remind myself that they are the Lord's and that I am just an instrument. God will do His will with them no matter what I do. I simply steward, guide, and pray they find their true north. Even now, as I'm writing this with soft piano playing through my headphones, I can feel how sound shapes emotion, how music can lift you or mislead you. It's something I'm always telling my boys, to be careful what you listen to, because even the quietest things can guide you if they sit close enough to your ears. Field note, everything grows toward whatever sits closest, even when we don't realize we're turning. And maybe that's why this tree has my attention right now. Maybe that's why I keep noticing it, noticing how far it's come, how much it's changed, how long it's survived under my care. Field note, identity shifts long before we see the evidence. Direction comes before definition. And so tonight, I'm reopening a cold case. The folder is labeled Identity Formation, but I call it the case of the wooden crate of seeds. Why does quiet growth feel invisible until it presses against the edges? Why do we notice change only when the space no longer fits? And how do we trace who we are becoming when the clues feel small and familiar? That's where tonight's investigation begins. Growth has a way of sneaking up on us. You don't see it happening, not day by day, not while you're trying to keep a home steady or finish work or care for your family. You wake up one day and realize, something doesn't fit the way it used to. Maybe for you, it's not a bonsai tree. Maybe it's your child outgrowing clothes faster than you can wash them. Maybe it's your schedule or a job that felt sure until it didn't. Maybe it's a habit that used to work but now feels heavy. Maybe it's an idea or a dream you placed on pause, thinking you'd get to it later, and suddenly later looks a lot like now. And a quiet ache shows up because, like my bonsai, you've started pressing against the edges of the space you once fit in. You feel that same mix inside, the joy of growing and the ache of changing. That ache doesn't mean something's wrong. It means you're paying attention. Field note, growth becomes uncomfortable long before it becomes visible. And when that discomfort shows up, it sounds like simple questions. Why does this feel different? Why am I sensing a shift? What needs my attention right now? What is God showing me in this season? It's not a dramatic realization. It's more like noticing a small tug on your sleeve, gentle but steady, asking you to look again. Field note, outgrowing a season doesn't mean you fail to achieve it. It means it's time to pay attention. What you're feeling isn't strange. It's simply the tension between where you've been and where God is quietly shaping you next. One of the things I've learned about a bonsai tree, which still surprises me, is how it bends toward the light. Have you noticed that with plants? Not all at once, just slowly. Every few weeks, I would notice it leaning a little more to one side, just enough that I'd have to rotate it to help it receive light evenly. And every time I turned it, it was a small reminder, everything grows toward whatever is shaping it. In this case, it was the sun. But this reminder is not just for plants, not just for our children, not just our habits, it's for us too. Since we were young, the world taught us that identity just happens as we grow up, that who we are comes from age, personality, preference, whatever season you're in of growth, or even worse, that identity is something we must create for ourselves. But that's not true. We grow toward what we're closest to. We bend toward what we listen to. We shift toward whatever feels most familiar, even if it isn't good for us. And somewhere along the way, most of us start believing, if something feels normal, it must be right. If everyone else thinks this way, I should too. If it works for them, it should work for me. If this is who I've been, this must be who I am. Or even, if I need to change, isn't it too late? Even the bonsai, as simple as it is, responds to whatever sits closest. And scripture tells a different story. Identity isn't formed by accident, it is shaped by presence. God never describes his people as self-made or self-defined. He calls us his workmanship, his daughters, his sheep, his chosen people, his beloved. Identity begins with him, not with us. Field note, what shapes you most is whatever you stay closest to. And that's what we often forget. Not because we're careless, but because the things closest to us feel harmless. A simple routine, a familiar voice, a recognizable pattern, a strong belief, a subtle pressure, a repeatable habit, a story we learned when we were young, a standard we inherited without noticing. But none of those things can name us. Only God does. The lie says identity forms on its own. You'll figure it out as you go. But truth says identity grows toward the one who made you. Standing in front of that little tree, realizing it needed a bigger pot, I felt something deeper than a gardening responsibility. I felt the ache of stewardship because, just like my boys, I can guide them, teach them, discipline them, pray for them, but they belong to the Lord. He knows their story. He knows the pot they'll outgrow. He knows the seasons they'll stretch through. He knows what will shape them best. I am just an instrument in their growth, but I am not the architect of it. And that realization melts something in you. It humbles you. It shapes you. Because if they need space to grow, so do I. If they bend toward influence, so do I. If they are shaped by the voice that sits closest, so do I. And suddenly this whole moment, the tree, the window light, the heart of wanting what's best, felt like it was reminding me of something. And then it became clear, identity doesn't grow by accident. It grows by attention. Not performance, not perfection, not pressure. Attention. And the older I get, the more I see it. Every season of identity invites a choice. What am I turning toward these days? What am I letting close enough to shape me? What am I trusting without noticing? Whose hands am I trusting with my growth? Motherhood teaches it. Business reveals it. Faith anchors it. Life confirms it. Because the truth is, identity forms the same way a tree grows. Slowly, quietly, redirected by what is closest. Field note, identity grows strongest where attention goes deepest. The world says, define yourself, trust your feelings, follow your own path, do what seems right to you, shape your own destiny. But God says, draw near to me, and I will shape you. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to me, and he will draw near to you. Nearness shapes us more than effort ever could. Identity isn't a project you finish. It's a relationship you stay close to. Field note, you grow in the right direction by staying near the right voice. So So maybe the next time you sense that quiet shift inside you, you can pause and ask, am I growing toward what is good or simply what is close? Identity isn't found by accident. It is shaped by nearness. And the safest place to grow is in the hands of the one who formed you. We're opening our final case tonight, one that's been forming quietly behind every story we've uncovered so far. It's labeled identity formation, but every hint inside suggests something deeper, something shaping us in ways we rarely notice. Every internal report says the same thing. Growth feels normal until you suddenly realize you've been bending towards something without meaning to. So tonight's case begins with a simple question. What has been shaping you lately? Steady truth or whatever sits closest? Over the next few minutes, we'll cover the clues, one shift, one habit, one quiet moment at a time, until the pattern underneath your growth comes into focus. Because somewhere between your routines, your responsibilities, and your quiet questions, there's a thread that's been guiding your direction more than you may realize. But before we start collecting evidence, let me ask you something. When you think about the parts of your life that feels tight, shifting, or stretching, the ones you pray about, think about, or quietly carry, what has your attention been leaning toward? What is shaping your choices these days? And is it drawing you closer to God or just keeping you busy? By the end of this case, you'll see how identity takes its shape, how influence forms quietly, and how God steadies you when you draw near to Him. Welcome to the Brand Fusionist Podcast, where faith, family, business, and brand strategy don't compete. They come together in quiet strength and steady purpose. Whether you're a builder of homes or brands, a storyteller finding your next sentence, or a creative woman learning to listen for God's direction in the noise, you belong here. I'm Magdalena, brand strategist, multi-passionate mentor, and a woman learning what it means to be faithful in every season, at home, in business, and in the heart. This is where identity meets voice, where we learn to build with discernment and walk with peace, so our lives speak truth even when the world gets loud. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. Let's walk this path together. This is Series 3, The Identity Case Files, and today we open the final folder on the board. This whole series has been one long investigation, tracing how identity forms, stretches, and sometimes gets tangled. And if you're joining for the first time, here's the quick trail of clues. Episode 11, Uncover the Comparison Theory, the first suspect that tries to blur who you are. Episode 12, Examine Your Many Entrusted Roles, the second suspect that tries to pull you off center. Episode 13, Confronted the Fear Around Using Your Voice, the third suspect that tries to keep you quiet. Episode 14, Followed the Trail of Noise, the fourth suspect that tries to separate you from God's steady guidance. And today, episode 15, closes the case. Because after you stop comparing, after you stop scattering yourself, after you reclaim your voice and filter out the noise, there is one quiet question left. What has actually been shaping me? Today's micro goal is simple: to uncover the source behind your growth, not the outward roles you carry, not the opinions around you, but the quiet influences that guide who you're becoming in Christ. Because identity isn't something you declare, it's something that takes its shape day by day by whatever sits closest to your attention. This last case matters because it gathers everything we've traced in this series and brings it back to the one who names you, forms you, and leads you with steady care. And this suspect is subtle. It doesn't shout. It doesn't argue. It doesn't demand the spotlight. It slips in quietly. It grows slowly. It blends in with what feels normal. It's the soft force behind your habits, the quiet tug behind your decisions, the gentle pull behind your patterns, the kind of influence you don't notice until you finally step back and see how far it's reached. But God has not left you confused. He has given you His Word, His Spirit, and His truth to steady your direction. even when your identity feels like it's stretching in new ways. And that is why this case matters. Today, we're not chasing noise or comparison or pressure. We're tracing the quiet shape of your identity back to its true source. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Because identity is a gift He forms, not something you have to figure out on your own. That's the posture we're after today. A heart steady enough to see what's been shaping you, and surrender to let God shape you next. First, let's define what we're dealing with. When identity shifts, when growth presses against the edges of an old season, when you begin noticing the quiet ways God is maturing you, a natural question rises. What is actually shaping me? We've traced comparison. We've traced scattered roles. We've traced your voice, and we've traced noise. But now we're tracing the source, the quiet influence that forms identity over time. Before we reveal it, we need a clear definition. Because if the question behind this final episode is, what has actually been shaping me? Then the answer shows up in your fruit. Not public fruit, not performance fruit, but the fruit that grows from what your life is rooted in. The quiet evidence of what's been forming you all along. And scripture calls that fruitfulness. The world treats fruitfulness like results, visibility, metrics, momentum, money, applause, productivity, achievement. The message is more output means more success. Visible results equals real fruit. And if people can't see it, it doesn't count. So fruitfulness becomes pressure. And when the world talks about growth, it usually means do more, work harder, keep up, don't fall behind. But this definition creates exhaustion, not life, because it ties your worth to your work and your identity to your outcomes. Scripture gives a completely different picture. Fruitfulness doesn't start with doing. It starts with abiding. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 through 5, "Abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Abiding means staying close. Like a branch stays connected to the tree, like a child stays close to a parent in a busy store, like you keep returning to God in small moments. Abiding is talking with God, reading His word, trusting Him, choosing His way, letting His truth shape your steps, staying close even when you feel unsure. That's abiding. Abiding means staying close to God, even in small, ordinary moments. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 calls it fruit of the Spirit. This reflects how God grows it, not you. Fruitfulness doesn't begin with results. It begins with roots. Fruit is what people see. Roots are what God sees. Fruit is the outcome. Abiding is the source. Field note, fruit grows from what you stay connected to, and the fruit itself is God's work through your abiding. A tree doesn't force fruit. It doesn't hustle to make apples. It doesn't panic to produce. It doesn't compare itself to the tree next to it. It doesn't worry about its numbers. It simply stays connected to its source, soil, water, sunlight. And as long as it stays rooted, the fruit shows up slowly, quietly, naturally. Fruitfulness in your life works the same way. You don't produce fruit by pressure. You bear fruit by proximity. Fruitfulness doesn't stay inside Bible passages. It shows up in the small, simple places of your life, often where no one else is looking. If you're a mom, fruitfulness looks like choosing patience when you feel you've had a rough day, slowing down to really listen, creating a calm moment in a loud day, shaping the atmosphere of your home. Not perfect schedules, not perfect behavior from your kids, not comparing your friend's supermom moments to yours, but real fruit that shows up in the tone of the home, not the perfection of the plan. If you're raising kids or homeschooling, fruitfulness looks like adjusting a lesson when a child is frustrated, choosing gentleness instead of snapping, seeing your child's unique pace as design, not as a fallback, pausing for connection rather than pushing for completion, recognizing when the house needs rest, not more worksheets. Homeschool fruit isn't the perfect curriculum, the strict timeline, or the ideal day. It's the pace, the patience, the growth, and the attitude of the home. This is fruit that grows from abiding, not feeling pressure to compete with other homeschool setups. If you're married, fruitfulness looks like speaking with kindness even when you're tired, choosing unity over being right, protecting peace in your home, offering forgiveness faster than you want to and mean it, showing up for each other in small ways. Not the illustrative marriage online, not the picture-perfect home. Fruit shows up in the relationship and how you love when no one sees. If you're single or engaged, fruitfulness looks like choosing peace over panic, growing your character in private, letting God shape your next step, noticing the good God is growing in you, not needing every detail of your future, not rushing to figure everything out, not forcing a timeline. Fruit is the quiet strength God grows in you while no one is watching. If you work a 9-to-5, fruitfulness looks like doing your work with integrity, showing up on time, being dependable, respecting people, choosing excellence, not perfection, not climbing ladders to prove yourself, not saying yes to everything if it's a choice, not trying to keep up with workplace competition. Fruit shows in your character, even when your job brings pressure. If you're building a digital business, fruitfulness looks like serving people well, creating with honesty and clarity, choosing integrity over trends, building slowly and faithfully, saying no to what drains your peace. Not numbers, not followers, not viral moments. Fruit shows up in the way you work, not in the size of your results. If you're walking through a difficult season, fruitfulness looks like depending on God at all times, praying honestly, humbling yourself, letting others help you, staying approachable when you're hurting and want to be left alone, not pretending you're strong, not pushing yourself harder, not numbing your heart to hide your feelings. Fruit shows up as trust, trust grown in the dark. Field note, hidden fruit still counts. God sees what others don't. And if fruit always reflects the root, then the real question behind identity is, what am I staying close to? Not what's loudest, but what's been quietly shaping you all along. Maybe you felt this quietly too. Those little thoughts that rise when growth feels slow. Shouldn't I be growing faster? I don't see any real fruit yet. Maybe I'm not doing enough. I want to understand what God is shaping in this season. We live in a world that says, show progress, move faster, produce something visible, keep up, while your heart is asking a much wiser question. What is God growing here, even if it's still hidden? So maybe the real question isn't, why don't I see more fruit yet? Maybe it's, am I staying close to the one who grows it? Because when Jesus says, abide in me, he isn't asking you to produce more. He's inviting you to stay near him and trust him with growth. Growth isn't rushed. It's received. Psalms 1 verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. That's the heart of fruitfulness, not forcing results, but staying rooted in Christ and trusting him with the timing of your growth. Case note, new suspect on the board, alias the false fruit. Method, looks like growth, but isn't. Weapon, pressure disguised as purpose. Now, here's the pattern. A new season begins. Routines change, responsibilities stretch, motherhood shifts, business ideas take shape, and you pause, feeling that quiet tug. Lord, help me grow the way you want me to. Then the false fruit shows up, whispering whatever the world calls success. It's not scripture. It's just whatever looks impressive, fast, or measurable. And it feels like growth, but it pulls you away from the growth God is actually forming. The more you chase the false fruit, the more you feel tired, but not transformed, busy, but not rooted. I've met this suspect too. It sounds motivating, almost inspiring. Do more, produce more. Everyone else is further ahead. You need results to prove you're growing or to prove your worth. But every time I follow that voice, it led me to feel exhausted, not strengthened, occupied, not obedient, visible, not rooted. See, the false fruit doesn't grow you, it distracts you. It doesn't deepen your roots, it drains them. It promises growth, but it leads pressure instead of maturity. Field note, not everything that looks like growth is fruit. Real fruit starts where real roots are planted right. I want you to picture a small garden inside your mind. Not a big, perfect garden, just a simple one, like a corner of soil with a few plants growing quietly there. In this garden, three things exist at all times. The root, what you stay close to, the fruit, what your life begins to show, and the imitation plant, the false fruit that looks real but isn't. The root is Christ, steady, deep, supplying strength. It doesn't demand attention, it doesn't rush, it simply feeds whatever stays connected to Him. The fruit is the quiet evidence of His work, patience, peace, gentleness, wisdom, steadiness, clarity. You don't force it. You don't create it. It grows slowly, almost without you noticing, because the root is healthy. And then there's the imitation plant. It looks full. It grows fast. It appears beautiful and successful from a distance. It promises quick results and instant progress, but it has no real root. So it wears you out instead of growing you. And here's the part most people don't notice. Every day, your garden is being shaped by what sits closest to the root. Fruitfulness isn't about producing more. It's about staying planted where the life comes from. In this garden, the root never moves. God is steady. The fruit grows in season. God decides the timing. And the imitation plant grows fast, but dies fast. It drains you instead of forming you. Fruitfulness isn't about making the garden perfect. It's about noticing what you're connected to. It's the quiet prayer that says, Lord, help me stay rooted in you, not in pressure, not in hustle, and not in the false fruit that only looks like growth. And when you turn toward Him, even in small, ordinary moments, your garden changes. Your roots deepen, your fruit becomes steady, and what once felt confusing becomes clear. Not because life got easier, but because your source got closer. You know, in scripture, even the most faithful men and women experienced seasons where growth felt slow or hidden. Noah waited for God to fulfill a promise no one else understood. Hannah waited for a child her heart longed for. David waited to become king long after he was anointed. Their waiting didn't mean the fruit was missing. It meant God was working in ways they couldn't see yet. So if your growth feels slow, if your fruit feels small, or if you're unsure what God is shaping in this season, that longing may be hunger for what only Christ can grow, not what the world measures. Scripture never tells us that fruit comes instantly. It tells us that fruit comes in season. Psalms 1 verse 3. That truth frees you from the pressure to rush what God grows slowly. The world demands visible progress, but God grows his people the way he grows everything living, steadily, intentionally, and often quietly. And fruitfulness isn't proved by pace. It's revealed over time by staying near the source. He forms what he plants. He completes what he begins. Philippians 1 verse 6. And he grows fruit in his timing, not yours. You don't have to force growth. Stay close to the one who gives it. Just remember this. Roots form before fruit appears. Formation comes before visibility. Abiding comes before evidence. The pressure you feel to show progress doesn't get to define you. It's simply the imitation plant trying to look like purpose. But God grows you with patience. He grows you with intention. He grows you in rhythms that match your seasons, not someone else's. Like a tree planted by streams of water, he knows exactly what fruit will come and exactly when it will appear. There is no need to rush. He's inviting you to stay near. So here's our plan for tonight. We're going to practice fruitfulness in real life, the quiet kind that grows in the places people rarely see. We'll notice one true root. We'll name one imitation plant that drains instead of grows. And we'll choose one small way to stay close to the source. Simple, steady, rooted. You ready? In a few minutes, I'll walk you through a set of field tools too. Practical ways to stay rooted through your home rhythms, your routines, your planning, your motherhood, your work, and the ordinary moments where fruit begins quietly. Tools you can use while you cook dinner, fold laundry, drive to practice, sit at your desk, or plan your week. Remember, fruitfulness isn't about big jumps. It's about nearness. It's not about proving growth. It's about staying connected to the one who grows you. Field note, new lead confirmed. The world says show results, move faster, produce something visible. But the word says stay near and I will grow you in season. Next step, our first witness on the stand. The plant that grows fast, looks real, but steals your strength. The false fruit. Field note, case number 015, final file, evidence bag, the false fruit. Time, 1:15 a.m. Every case ends the same way, with a pattern that becomes impossible to ignore. This one shows up quietly, when you're changing seasons, when responsibilities stretch, when identity feels like it's growing beneath the surface, and something inside you whispers, shouldn't I be further along by now? Tonight, we'll follow three clues. The block, what pulls you toward false fruit, the kind that looks like growth but drains your roots. The breakthrough, what brings your attention back to the true root, Christ, where real growth actually begins. And the brand vision, how a life rooted in Jesus produces steady, recognizable fruit in every season. The kind that shapes not only your home, but the way you build, create, lead, and serve. Let's open the first file. The evidence from the earlier episodes is still fresh. Comparison blurs identity. Multiplicity scatters it. Silenced voices hide it. Noise confuses it. And fruitfulness? Fruitfulness reveals what or who has been shaping you all along. Last time, we traced why discernment matters, because direction gets distorted when too many voices fight for the same space. But tonight, the case shifts yet again for the last time. This one isn't about your roles, it's about your roots. It's about the quiet influences that shape your inner life, the unseen places where identity either deepens or drains. Because every day you're growing towards something, either the source or a substitute. Fruitfulness is where identity becomes visible, not instantly, but truthfully. So we'll walk through the three B's, the block, the breakthrough, and the brand vision, each revealing how God forms real fruit, how he redirects false growth, and how staying close to him anchors everything you're becoming. Because when God grows you, your life becomes a testimony. Your life becomes evidence, quiet, steady, clear. So keep your notes close and stay with me. Tonight, we're not just collecting clues, we're tracing your growth back to its source. The block in this case has a name, counterfeit fruit. It shows up quietly at first, right when you're trying to grow in a way that actually honors God, and something else steps in that looks like growth, but isn't. Counterfeit fruit sounds like copying someone else's pace because it looks impressive, shaping your choices around what seems successful, chasing the results you see online, chasing the results you see of a friend that looks like she has it all together, confusing visibility with value, doing more because everyone else is, and mistaking activity for maturity. It feels productive, it looks helpful, it grows fast, but it's not rooted in Christ. And here's the problem. Counterfeit fruit doesn't grow you, it drains you. It gives you motion instead of maturity. It gives you pressure, not peace. It gives you false results, not roots. Field note, when imitation becomes your pace, fruitfulness becomes performance. And this block shows up everywhere. In motherhood, when you measure your home by someone else's magazine-ready pictures instead of the quiet work God is doing in your family. In marriage, when you compare your relationship to the couple you admire and start performing instead of cultivating unity. In business, when you try to replicate someone else's strategy, brand identity, or results instead of building with integrity and patience. In faith, when you try to prove your growth instead of letting God grow it in season. Counterfeit fruit doesn't usually create chaos. It creates pressure. The kind that makes you feel like growth should be visible when scripture says it begins underground. And that's the block, not failure, just a quiet imitation that replaces abiding with achievement and roots with performance. Field note. Counterfeit fruit makes the fast option feel faithful, even when it's not rooted in truth. There's this moment I've had more times than I can count. If you have little ones, you might know it too. Growing up, my boys would run up to me from the yard or wherever we are, and they'd bring back these bright yellow flowers, feeling so proud, smiling with love, so certain that they found something beautiful. And they would say, "Here, mommy, for you." I'd kneel down, smile, hug, and thank them, and then gently tell them the truth, that these look pretty, but they're not actually flowers. They're weeds. And just so you know, they weren't disappointed, just surprised, because what looked like beauty was actually imitation. And that's the heart of today's breakthrough. We don't chase counterfeit fruit because we're misguided. We chase it because it looks like the real thing at first glance. It's impressive. It's visible. Weeds grow quicker than trees, and so does imitation. Counterfeit fruit is like hopping on a merry-go-round. You're moving, you're working, you're spinning, you're exhausted, but you're not going anywhere. Fast movement feels like growth. Chasing what looked fruitful, but it wasn't rooted. And that's exactly why this breakthrough matters. Now, before we go any further, let's pull a few case files off the wall, shall we? Exhibit A, The Mirror, Episode 11. This was where we first saw imitation. We learned comparison blurs your vision, blurs your identity. If you missed that case, it shows how fruit starts getting distorted early. Exhibit B, The Notebooks, Episode 12. Layers of entrusted roles, scattered pages. We learned influence shapes identity long before fruit shows. Exhibit C, The Tape Recorder, Episode 13. Remember the red light pause? We learned silence and fear plant seeds of hesitation. And Exhibit D, the white headphones, Episode 14. Static and mixed signals. We learned noise sits closest and drowns out the steady voice. All these clues were pointing to the same issue. What sits closest shapes what grows next. If any of these pieces feel unfamiliar, you can revisit those episodes. The patterns will become even clearer if you do. And here's the breakthrough. Counterfeit fruit grows where imitation becomes your pace, visibility becomes your measure, urgency becomes your guide, and pressure becomes your architect. Copying someone else's results doesn't usually start with pride. It starts with hunger. I want to grow too. But hunger without discernment grows weeds, because what blooms quickly isn't always what lasts. Scripture shows us God builds what lasts. Weeds grow fast. Trees grow slow. Fruit grows in season. If you've been following the clues across the whole series, you may have noticed the pattern of our final suspect. Comparison, scattered rules, silenced voice, mixed signals, counterfeit fruit. Our suspects across the series were objects that symbolized the patterns shaping identity. They were clues in a detective case, not the culprit. The real suspect wasn't the objects. The real suspect was the blueprint creating your identity. The mirror wasn't the culprit. It exposed comparison shaping your identity. The notebooks weren't the culprit. They exposed scattered roles and identity fragmentation. The tape recorder wasn't the culprit. It exposed silent voice because of opinions and fear. The white headphones weren't the culprit. They exposed mixed signals shaping decisions. And the wooden box of seeds isn't the culprit. It's the final piece of evidence showing the fingerprints of the architect who planted the wrong seeds. Pressure, hurry, fear, comparison, imitation. The objects were clues all along. They each revealed a different place where identity got formed wrongly. So, who is the final suspect? It's not culture, not your circumstances, not the world. The suspect is the false architect. These clues weren't pointing to an outside enemy. They were pointing back to the blueprint we've been using. We became the false architect in habit. When we stopped abiding and started building identity in our own strength, what we planted, pursued, copied, rushed, and tried to prove, all without abiding. This is the self shaped by pressure, the self led by comparison, the self copying others, the self trying to prove stability, the self planting from fear, the self making identity through doing instead of abiding. Apart from me, you can do nothing, says John 15, verse 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, says Psalms 127, verse 1. When we build identity apart from Christ, we become the false architect using the wrong blueprint. That's the moment of revelation. And once you see that, you stop running in circles and start rooting yourself in the one who actually grows you. Fruitfulness isn't discovered in effort. It's discovered in nearness. And the moment you recognize the difference between weeds disguised as flowers and the fruit Christ grows in season, counterfeit fruit loses its pull. Field note, final suspect confirmed. Alias, the false architect. Primary method, building identity through imitation instead of abiding. Motive, pressure, not formation. Case status, exposed. Finally. Fruitfulness was never about making more. It was always about staying close enough to Christ that what grows in you actually comes from Him. The world measures growth by seed, but Scripture shows us growth by source. Roots before fruit. Abiding before evidence. nearness before results. So what does a faithful, peace-paced life actually look like? It begins with identity. I belong to Christ, so He is the one who forms me. Not culture, not pressure, not pace, not imitation, not the expectations around me. Christ forms the root. Christ decides the season. Christ grows the fruit. It begins with voice. My voice belongs to Christ. I speak from alignment, not achievement, not loud, just steady. A rooted voice isn't trying to prove anything. It simply reflects the one it stays close to. It begins with stewardship. I'm responsible for what God planted in my soil, not for duplicating someone else's garden. This means I tend to the season I'm in. I care for the people entrusted to me. I cultivate what God actually gave me. I steward roots, not false results. A faithful, fruit-paced life looks like this in real moments. At home, choosing connection over comparison, letting gentleness take root even when the day gets rough. With your children, it's sowing patience in small moments because fruit grows slowly, not suddenly. In marriage, nurturing unity with kindness and humility, like tending a garden you want to flourish for years. In your work or business, building with integrity and faithfulness, not speed or visibility, but with purpose and intention. In your private life, letting scripture shape your steps before pressure shapes your pace. It's not about perfection, it's about rootedness. Being the same woman in every season, because Christ is the same foundation beneath every season. And the more you walk with Christ, the more you notice some things grow fast, but die fast. His fruit grows slow, but lasts. Some rhythms drain you. His nearness restores you. Some voices pressure you. His spirit forms you. This is the life Christ invites you to. Formation, not performance. Roots, not rush. Fruit that lasts, not results that fade. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 remind us that fruit is the Spirit's work, not ours. Psalms 1 shows us a tree planted by water, rooted, steady, fruitful in its season. Field note. Counterfeit fruit was never the authority. It was simply the reminder that formation takes time and that real fruit grows where roots stay near Christ. This is the picture of a faithful formed woman, steady in her identity, rooted in her source, bearing fruit in season, and entrusted with a life that reflects Christ. Roots over rush, formation over pressure, fruitfulness over imitation. This is the brand vision for a life built by the true architect. Now, let's open today's field kit. Every investigator needs tools. These are yours. We never close a case without conclusions only. We need practices that keep the old pattern from creeping back in. So here are your tools, the ones that keep you rooted near Christ. When imitation, hurry, or pressure tries to take over again. These aren't quick fixes. They're small alignments. Because fruitfulness isn't something you perform. It's something you receive by staying near the source. Tool 1, the root check. The root check question. This might take 10 seconds daily. If you're still listening to this episode, then you do care about what you're producing, but not as the measure of your worth. You care about it as the evidence of the root you're connected to. So, whenever you feel pressure, comparison, urgency, just pause and ask, what am I staying close to right now? Performance or Christ? And this takes 10 seconds. It's just a daily thing. Because roots decide fruit. If you turn toward Christ, then your roots realign to truth. Field note, what you stay near is what will shape what you eventually produce. Faith curious listener, this is a simple way of saying, Lord, draw me near, found in James 4, verse 8. Now for tool two, the one small seed practice. This is something daily or weekly, and it takes 1 minute of your time. Fruit doesn't grow from big shifts. It grows from small seeds planted faithfully. Obedience is daily. Obedience is ongoing. Obedience is a life posture. But fruit grows from what is planted consistently, not from trying to force a brand new version of yourself overnight. So instead of trying to perform what growth looks like to you, plant one intentional seed of obedience today alongside the other faithful things you already do. Examples: praying before responding. Open scripture instead of flipping through your phone. Choose to respond with gentleness when you feel tense. Finish the task already in your hands before chasing something new. Encourage someone quietly without needing to announce it in the group chat. Not because one is enough, but because one seed planted consistently becomes a garden over time. Field note, fruit doesn't grow from pressure. It grows from practical faithfulness. Faith curious listener, think of this as tending your soil, not proving anything to anyone. Tool three, the season check review. This is weekly and it might take 5 minutes. Just like gardens have seasons, so do you. And they don't all grow the same kind of fruit. Use these three questions to understand where God has you right now. Number one, what season am I actually in? Not the one you wish you were in. You know, is it busy, recovering, growing, resting, learning? For example, a busy season might be school pickups, deadlines, appointments, emotions feel stretched. You have less capacity and not more. Or a healing season, recovering from a hard month, grieving, rebuilding confidence, learning to rest without feeling guilt. Or a growing season, maybe stepping into new responsibilities and stretching spiritually in growth. Or resting and refocusing season, like simplifying routines, saying no more often than doing everything, clearing noise, recalibrating priorities. Or maybe a learning season, learning new skills that take up more of your time than usual, asking better questions, paying attention more deeply. Now, you can be in more than one, but one usually leads and you'll notice it. Number two, what fruit is God growing here, even if it's still hidden? Like patience, strength, trust, gentleness, steadiness? Fruit often starts invisible. Here's some examples. Patience during long days. Gentleness during toddler meltdowns. Trust in a confusing work season. Perseverance when results are slow. Humility when things feel uncertain. This question redirects you from thinking, I should be further along, to what is God forming in me right now? Number three, what am I trying to force that isn't meant for this season? Not everything good is meant for right now. This tool protects you from imitation and helps you see the real work God is forming inside you. Examples: launching a business in a season of recovery. Adding four new routines when your family needs stability. Trying to grow fast when God is building roots. Comparing your season to someone in a completely different season. Field note, not all growth belongs in every season. And that's okay. Faith curious listener, this is wisdom from Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there is a season. Now, lastly, here is tool four, the abide first filter. This is like morning or night. It may take 3 minutes of your time. Before you fill your mind with plans, pressure, or opinions, start with one verse. Let scripture set your pace before the world sets your expectations. This could look like reading a psalm before checking messages, sitting still with John 15 verse 4, praying a short prayer, Lord, steady my steps today, and writing down one sentence of scripture you want to carry into your day. When life speeds up, return to that verse. Let truth be the root under your day. This isn't about perfect devotions. It's about anchoring your day before your feelings start guiding it. Faith curious listener, this is Jesus' invitation in John 15, which reminds us to stay close to him and he grows the fruit. Field note, the voice you start with becomes the voice you trust most. Faithfulness isn't passive, it's formed in nearness. So when pressure whispers, strive harder to prove you're growing, you can answer, I strive with Christ, not apart from him. And that's what produces real, lasting fruit. Field note, truth confirmed. Let's return to the foundation again, where fruitfulness begins, where identity takes root, and where the false blueprint gets dismantled. Let me read to you what John 15 verse 4 says. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Fruit doesn't begin with effort. It begins with nearness. Jesus doesn't command you to produce. He invites you to remain. Every time you return to him in scripture, in prayer, in honest surrender, the false architect loses influence and the true vine strengthens what is growing in you. Psalms 1 verse 2 and 3 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. God is always forming you, but fruit appears in seasons. It doesn't show all at once. It doesn't appear every moment. It doesn't surface on demand. Visible fruit is seasonal, but his work in you is constant. This is the evidence file that corrects the pressure you felt. Your life in Christ grows at the pace of Scripture, not the pace of comparison. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Notice what's not on the list: speed, performance, or visibility. The Spirit grows fruit from the inside out, the exact opposite of the world's blueprint. Counterfeit fruit grows fast. Spirit-formed fruit grows deep. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The false architect whispers, finish it yourself. God says, I finish what I start. This is why we re-anchor in the Word. This is why we slow down. This is why we abide, because God's work is steady and his completion is certain. This is how false blueprints get replaced with truth. Your closing evidence is threefold. God plants the seed. Christ is the vine. The Spirit grows the fruit. That's how you close this case. Field note, suspect unmasked. The false architect, the self-built blueprint, has been confronted with the Word. Case status resolved for now. Before we close this final case, take a moment with me. After everything we uncovered, the mirror, the notebooks, the tape recorder, the white headphones, the wooden box of seeds, and the blueprint beneath it all, ask yourself gently, which blueprint have I been building from lately? Pressure or Christ? Don't overthink it. Just write what comes to you first. Because the moment you can name the blueprint, you can choose to follow the real architect. And that choice reshapes everything. Your home, your work, your rhythms, your fruit, your future, your children's future. Now, this is where we close the file on Series 3, but not the investigation. Here's your simple action for the next 24 hours. Find one lie you've been living from, a pressure, an imitation, a moment of should-haves, and replace it with one truth from Scripture. Just one. Write the lie, then write the truth that replaces it. Then find one verse that confirms that truth. So, one lie out, one truth planted, one seed that begins to change the whole garden, one scripture to anchor it. This is how you step out of the false blueprint and return to the one who grows you in season. Before we close this final case of the series, remember this. You are a woman planted by God, His workmanship, His daughter, His garden in progress. That's your beginning place. That's your steady center when everything else shifts. You don't have to copy someone else's growth to be faithful. You don't have to rush to prove you're producing something. You don't have to build a life from pressure or performance. Christ is the one who forms you. Christ is the one who grows you. Christ is the one who holds the blueprint. Your job isn't to manufacture fruit. It's to stay near the vine. So let your choices, your yeses, your boundaries, your work, your motherhood, your whole life rise from who you already are in Christ. Not from imitation, not from urgency, not from the old blueprint you've just unmasked. You can live steady because the Lord is faithful. Faithfulness doesn't rush, it abides. Wait, hold on. Field note, final entry for this series, but something new is coming soon. For now, if this case helped you name the imitation, quiet the pressure, or finally see the old blueprint for what it was, share it with a friend who's learning to listen to, because fruitfulness grows stronger in community. And if you're ready to step into a season of building with clarity, structure, and stewardship in your faith, family, and work, you can join the waitlist at brandfusionist.com. You'll get early access when new tools and trainings release soon. As we close this series, remember, fruit grows where you stay near Christ, not where you try to perform without Him. In Series 3, we uncover the wrong blueprint. But our new Series 4 begins with learning how the true architect builds. We'll talk about reset, how to rebuild your foundation with rhythms that root you, steady you, and prepare you for everything God will grow next. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. This is the Brand Fusionist Podcast.